This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Amid a $12 billion deficit and a budget crisis that the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, says is generated by the pandemic, the MTA is considering a proposal to lay off more than 9,000 employees and make drastic reductions in subway service, bus service, the agency stated in a budget proposal. John Samuelson, oh my God. Talk to us about whether or not, to begin with, how you view the issue of the deficit and whether indeed you think it's pandemic generated and whether it comes out of the hides of the workers.
So for the first time perhaps ever, this is an extremely real deficit that the MTA is facing. It's a deficit that was absolutely triggered by the pandemic. So the pandemic took a physical toll on the workforce and the economic fallout from the reduction in ridership that came along with COVID-19 has caused this crazy, out-of-control deficit that we're facing. But to quickly answer the question about whether it's going to come out of the hides of the workers, it's just absolutely not. We've been crystal clear that the workforce at the MTA, certainly the TWU locals and the Amalgamated Transit locals that stand with us, have no intention of opening up our contracts. We do hope that the other unions hold strong and just join with us in a collective fight back against the company, against society. That's the way this is going down. It's a pandemic. It's triggered an economic crisis. And anybody who expects that the workers are going to pick up the tab are out of their minds.
Who are the transport workers union workers? What do they do? Who are they? What kind of folks are they? And what does this mean? Give us a human face on who these workers are and the services that they provide.
The Transport Workers Union is an international union. We have 150,000 members nationally. We represent many of the marquee transit systems across the country. We represent 30,000 workers at American Airlines, 30,000 workers at Southwest. We represent 5,000 JetBlue flight attendants who, by the way, we've settled the first ever contract for them, and we expect ratification later on today.
Congratulations.
Today. So we're a diversified transport sector, industrial trade union. And in the New York City transit system, we represent nearly everybody. We represent nearly all of the operating titles. We have a partner union in Amalgamated Transit that represents some of the bus depots as well. But for the most part, we represent train operators, conductors, station cleaners, track workers. That's what I am. I'm a track worker. Signal maintainers, bus operators, bus mechanics, facility maintainers. So you name it, the TWU claims it in the New York City transit system.
The kind of wages, the kind of benefits, the kind of work that these people do to move our cities.
Right. So just in terms of the membership itself, the overwhelming majority of the 46,000 members of Local 100 live within the five boroughs of New York City. These transit jobs, these solid TWU jobs, are the backbone of many of the working communities across New York and across the country for that matter. We do this arduous labor, whether it's heavy, heavy track work on rail jobs on the overnight in the subway to make sure that rush hour service can be achieved, or bus operators operating on some of the most dangerous streets in America, frankly. Our bus operators, train operators, conductors, on average, get assaulted 3-4 times a week still. This is dangerous work. Since I started on this job in the early 90s, there's been about a fatality a year on average. It's dangerous. Transit workers, unfortunately, pay the price with their lives, bringing this system together every single day to move New York.
This doomsday budget that's so called by the MTA chair, Pat Foy, it would result in 9,400 layoffs. How would that be broken down by subway system, the buses, and other workers?
So the 9,400 number that they have put forth, which we've absolutely rejected, and again, you know, any kind of conversation that I have about what the MTA is proposing, it's really, I don't view it as a reality. We will see where everybody is when the dust clears after we fight this thing out. But in terms of the MTA's proposal, they're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 9,300 furloughs. And out of that 9,300 furloughs, It's almost exclusively in New York City. So over 8,000 of those projected layoffs would hit New York City. The furloughs would be able to be achieved because they want to cut service. Almost all of the impactful service cuts are happening in New York City. So this is kind of a big slap at the city of New York, particularly in terms of the proportion of layoffs that are happening, that they're proposing to happen in the city relative to the suburbs. So roughly 8/9 of the workforce reductions that they're talking about are going to happen in the New York City subway and bus system. And really, that's outrageous. It's not going to pass any kind of real equity test. It just doesn't pass equity muster. The cuts are going to really adversely affect the working communities in New York City, and perhaps less so the more affluent suburbs in Westchester and Nassau and Suffolk. So we're going through that a bit of analysis right now. We don't have any specifics from the MTA in terms of what they're proposing and where they're proposing it in the weeds. So we just have a broad statement. And certainly the statement that they made disparately impacts the working people of the city of New York.
I just want to go back, and you were a track worker. I want people to understand a little bit more about the day-to-day work. Take us back to that period of time as a track worker. What are the conditions you faced, and what are the services that you provide to move this vibrant city, which, frankly, cannot exist without you all transporting and moving the populace?
Right, so just in terms of a subway track worker, the routine of a subway track worker would be to work the overnight tour for the most part. We do have a lot of daytime maintenance work, but it happens on the elevated structure and the open cut routes that we have, like the Nancy in Brooklyn, that type of thing. But for the most part, subway track work is done on the overnight. We work tours like 10 at night to 6 in the morning or midnight to 8 a.m. We work in the most dangerous conditions one could imagine. It's absolutely pitch black for the most part in the subway. We're surrounded by heavy steel, electrified third rails, sometimes electrified water that's running in the system, rats all over the place. It's fairly disgusting work. It can be super disgusting work, actually. In the summer, it's scorching hot. In the winter, it's frigid. In terms of the workforce in the subway, there's a constant tension. There's an us against them tension in the subway between us and the bosses that I don't believe exists in nearly anywhere else to the level it exists inside the New York City transit system. It's what sustained the TWU. For the most part, transit workers fully understand that these bosses are not with us, that we have to rely on each other to secure our livelihoods, to take care of our families. It's a very and sometimes tense atmosphere in the subway work spot, and all of this goes on every single night underneath Manhattan, underneath Brooklyn, underneath the Upper West Side and Park Slope, where folks are sleeping in their multi-million-dollar condos. We're underneath the streets, putting it together so that rush hour can take off and New York can get to work that day and get to school and get to the hospital and get wherever they have to go.
Since you said that, I just want you to add the particular conditions and circumstances of being an essential worker that is barely credited, if at all, working during this pandemic period.
Yeah, so MTA workers, and particularly New York City transit workers, are absolutely the backbone of the essential workforce response to COVID-19 in New York, and frankly, it's that way in cities across America. Transit workers are often the unsung hero of catastrophes such as this pandemic, and in this case, transit workers are absolutely the unsung heroes. So we suffered over 100 fatalities in New York City, and that's just the TWU. The overall number at the MTA is probably around 140 right now. And so for anybody who watched what was going on during this pandemic, we had bus operators that were exposed to harm's way, that were passing away. Our train operators and conductors, anybody who was in contact with the riding public, the pandemic triggered a massive amount of confrontation between us and the bosses at the MTA, particularly early on in March of this year. there were disputes over masks. The MTA initially tried to forbid transit workers from wearing masks. How ridiculous that seems. Almost it seems like only something like that could happen in the, perhaps like the Middle Ages or something like that. But here it was happening in New York City. And the union overrode that dictate from the company, started handing out our own masks, and eventually won the fight. And the masks became mass distributed by the MTA. Absolutely the unsung heroes, grocery store workers as well. On any given day on a bus, we would have doctors, emergency room nurses, grocery store workers, paramedics that were making their way to work because of the efforts of the TWU in this transit system.
Now, in terms of the ridership, both bus and subway, how would this affect service if this doomsday budget were to go into effect?
The proposals that the MTA is putting forth would permanently alter what we understand to be the New York City transit system. It's an absolute disastrous proposal. And talking 40 or 50% cuts, service reductions, that directly affect working New Yorkers. And I can't emphasize that enough. This is a city, the backbone of the city, the circulatory system of New York City is the transit system. And if the transit system is allowed to be decimated in this fashion, it will resonate for decades in terms of what the city of New York looks like. We absolutely intend to fight that and not let it happen.
The other thing, before we just even pursue further what it means for our communities, what it means for myself, among others, not being able to use public transportation in the way that we have previously, which is awful just to even think about how we do our jobs and we relate to our lives and just function in an otherwise enormously difficult situation, i.e. pandemic. I want to just ask you about if people were furloughed, etc., what does it mean for these workers? I mean, there's this constant barrage of bad publicity that makes it seem like there's false overtime, that these are workers that are living high on the hog, and hey. So what would it mean if these furloughs went through or to the lives of these individual workers? And we're talking about tens of thousands of them.
I think that's the element that's often not calculated when the bean counters at the MTA put a headcount reductions on a piece of paper and they hand it out to the media. That's what's missing, right? The human toll is missing. The transit worker families that sustain the worker neighborhoods across the five boroughs, particularly Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and the Bronx. We have 14,000 members in Brooklyn alone. So these cuts will be absolutely devastating. They're going to add to the chaotic mess that America is under this pandemic. In our case, anything that they succeed in accomplishing in terms of service cuts and headcount reduction, our folks will be brought back to work. But certainly we will ensure that they come back to work. If it does happen, if the MTA prevails, if the federal government betrays us once again and the bailout doesn't come. Any workers that are affected will come back to work, but certainly the short-term suffering and pain is going to be horrific. Kids are going to be pulled from college. Houses are going to go into foreclosure. It's that type of ripple effect that we see percolating across America now. It's absolutely terrible.
Well, in terms of the budget deficit, which is real, what should be done instead of these layoffs? What does the union propose?
So here's the thing with the budget deficit. The one piece of all of this that's triggering so much of this activity on the part of the MTA is the New York State Public Authorities Law, which requires them to put forth a balanced budget. Now, so that's what's triggered this proposal. That's what's triggered this headcount reduction and these service cuts. So I made the comments at the MTA board the other day that it's pretty obscene that there's an expectation that the MTA is going to hold to a balanced budget when really no other government entity in America or the world is holding to a balanced budget in the middle of this pandemic. They've had a massive ridership reduction because of the sickness going on in society with COVID-19. that it's explainable what's happened, and really they should just ignore that requirement. More importantly, New York State should actually step in and waive that requirement for a balanced budget, which is triggering all of this. And if that balanced budget requirement was waived, the MTA could actually just borrow more money going into 2021. A vaccine will be here, and ridership will return once society's back on its feet in terms of having defeated COVID-19. So there's really, in my mind, there's no need to do what they're doing right now. That's a factual statement. They just don't have to do it. They find themselves enslaved to an arbitrary budget requirement that doesn't take into account any kind of catastrophic events in society that are kind of one-offs. It's not gonna be around forever, COVID-19. So there was a comment made by one of the more affluent people on the MTA board the other day about Keynesian economics, which is clearly what I'm talking about. About Keynesian economics not being the proper response to this, and of course it is. Of course it is. In times of catastrophe, in times of economic downturn, we invest. We double down on our investment and make sure society's taken care of. And then when society's back on its feet, we address the deficit spending that we were doing during the catastrophe. So every government entity in the world's doing that. But here we are with a bunch of rich people trying to hold the MTA to a completely different standard, because the impact, the outcome, is not going to affect them. The outcome is going to affect the working people in New York.
Tony O'Brien, who is the president of Logo 100, has proposed the possibility of reinvigorating the stock transfer tax. Would that be something you'd be in favor of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The right now in the year 2020, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, this resurgence that we're seeing, there's still some elements of the economy that are booming. Internet commerce is absolutely booming, and the stock market is booming. And government, New York State government, the federal government, should step in and find a way to actually monetize the success of those segments of the economy and pump it back in to help working people. And the stock transfer tax, the state of New York is leaving hundreds of millions of dollars every single year on the table. And for nothing. There's absolutely no good reason to do that. If the neoliberals want to avoid raising taxes on the rich, the one way that they could avoid, it's irrational that they don't just embrace it. If you don't want to tax the rich, then you got to figure out another way to go. And one ideal other way to go is that stock transfer tax. Hundreds of millions of dollars on the table every year. That just represents a fraction of a penny on a stock purchase. So it's the way to go. It could actually be directly invested into the MTA. It could be directly invested into other public services that are necessary, hospitals, healthcare, education, and yet we just leave that money on the table every single year. It's terrible.
Well, I'm wondering, just to push back a little, or play devil's advocate is more to the point. So the MTA says, wait a minute. Even if normal ridership returns in 2023, there'll still be a projected budget deficit totaling $19 billion through 2024. And then, according to them further, they say that there's a projected $6.3 billion deficit for 2021. So if you add all of that up, oh my goodness, you know, we're talking about it would be more than 50% of total revenues. It's historic in nature. What is a poor agency to do? So continue to tell us how you look at this and what a poor agency, if you will, is to do.
In terms of the MTA budget, it's been pretty clear for quite some time, and it's one of the reasons that the system fell into a state of massive unreliability and disrepair 3 summers ago. It's pretty clear that the dedicated revenue sources that the MTA has right now, that they enjoy right now, are not sufficient to meet their operating and maintenance needs. They're insufficient. And that was true even before COVID-19 hit and the ridership decline that came with this pandemic. So there's been a lot of discussion. We've brought this to the MTA. There needs to be new revenue sources. We need to have a system that's vibrant and safe and reliable And the only way to do that is to have it properly funded. And it would end these disputes between New York State and New York City about funding and capital investment and operating money investment. It would end those disputes permanently. It is pretty ridiculous that the greatest city in the history of the world gets into these cyclical fights about funding constantly. There's constantly a budget shortfall at the MTA. And all it does is give opportunities for these rich folks on the MTA board to point fingers at the workforce, to try to constantly diminish our benefits, diminish our pension, diminish our salaries, our ability to take care of our families. It seems that there's this plague among, particularly among some of the more affluent people on this MTA board, that they want to be able to enjoy life. They want to be able to take care of their kids, buy them clothes, send them to the college they want them to go to. But God forbid that transit workers and everyday working people have the same aspirations. It's disgraceful, this budgetary situation at the MTA. And the way to permanently fix it is to identify recurring funding sources that are as catastrophe-proof as possible. And the greatest reason that they've had this decline in revenues is because of the fare box. The MTA of New York is overly reliant on the fare box. I know there's some sort of neoliberal mentality that has embraced this notion that if the greater funding from the fare box, the more that funding is from the fare box, the better it is. It's simply not true. We've now seen the consequences of being over-reliant on the fare box. During the middle of the pandemic, it became a potential that New York City Transit Service was actually going to have to be reduced or cut during the pandemic in order to abide by their budgetary restrictions. So essential workers ran the risk of not being able to get to work through public transit because of funding. And how horrific is that? How backwards is that? This society should embrace public transit as one of the greatest things that they can deliver back to the workers and the citizens of cities like New York with a proper investment, but yet we always fail to do it.
And is that about the state and the city and the feds putting more money in and just seeing this as an essential service fundamental to people's human rights to be able to work and transport and live in urban areas and or commute from the suburbs as well to keep the economy going?
Yeah, the unfortunately, it's far too few people who actually fully embrace the notion in holistically embrace the notion that public transit is a vital service to society. And the idea that you pay to get onto public transit, if we recognize it's a vital public service, like when a paramedic comes to your house because somebody's taking a heart attack, they don't charge you $50 before they come in and work on somebody. It's a vital public service. It's built into the tax base. And public transit, whether it be the subway and bus system or the suburban railroads, it needs to be built into the tax base, the broader tax base, in a way that inoculates the budget against catastrophes such as the pandemic or Hurricane Sandy, things like that. As we go forward, those things will continue to happen. God only knows what the next blight that will happen to us is, but we have to sort of catastrophe-proof the revenue sources that are coming into the MTA and public transit across America.
There's renewed interest by both the Republicans and the Democrats to negotiate a stimulus bill. One of the things that people have hoped for has been for state-city funding out of that. Do you think that's a possibility, and do you think that would help out?
I think that, first of all, I think it's one of the main things that killed the last stimulus package is the Republicans, both McConnell and Trump, their refusal to send money to cities like New York and L.A. and San Francisco for municipal and state purposes. So we understand that to be true. The Republicans have an anti-urban agenda. But if public transit systems start going under one after the other, that'll trigger a domino effect that's going to affect the entire country. And it has to be addressed. So going into this next discussion, which there's discussions going on right now, actually, about a potential stimulus package and what it would look like. There has to be state and local money in the package. There can't just be money to the MTA in New York or MTAs across this country. If it is that the MTA has an infusion of cash from this forthcoming stimulus package, and there's no state and local money, what would happen is that governors like Cuomo or the governor of California and governor of Pennsylvania, they will start draining from the other side. They'll start pulling state investment into public transit because if the MTA systems are the only systems that get that money. So it would have a neutralizing effect. So state and local money has to be part of the stimulus package. The public transit systems have to have their own stimulus money, and then what really needs to be written into a federal bailout is a maintenance of effort by states and municipalities so that governors like Cuomo and mayors like de Blasio cannot siphon off money from these public transit systems, knowing that a federal bailout is coming.
Well, TWU International President John Samuelson, thank you for spending time with us and for making it clear that there must be a community worker alliance to keep our transit system working and the workers that commit their blood, sweat, and tears to move us at their jobs. It really has been a pleasure to speak with you, and congratulations again on the JetBlue contract.
Thank you very much, and I do want to say in parting that we choose to fight. We're not going to surrender. We're going to fight this out, and in the end, if the workers stand together, they always have a chance of prevailing, and that's what's going to happen right now. We're organizing toward that fight back.
Great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Bridges, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Stay strong and stay well. Thank you.